O es más grande.
They'll work.
¿Está bien?
Oh, I'm going to this bag around. I think it's a
bag. Ah, thank you. Make it a two-layer.
How you doing, Mike?
What?
Ah, por favor.
So you didn't discuss
it.
I wasn't here.
Oh, you were here.
No.
Well, you don't know if
they don't know.
Oh, you know, I think I did one time. Yeah.
I see it. And then I tried to do something about it, and I didn't.
Okay.
I
actually caught a couple of customers off guard while I was in Pine Top because they were ringing my cell phone. And in case you're not aware, I won't answer my cell phone in the States because I can't afford that. I got to send my kids to school. But if I do, if the caller ID comes up and I see it's you and I have another way to get a hold of you, like if you're on Skype with me or Facebook or so, I will jump on one of those services and try and get back to you as quickly as possible. There's very little chance you'll be able to talk to me on the phone when I'm out of the country. Well, I didn't get any skiing done. I did do sledding. We had a sledding hill right around the corner from us. But, you know, they didn't get snow until Christmas. It was really
yeah.
I mean, we had a great time. We spent a number of days there and did different things. But every day it was like, I wonder if we'll get some snow today. It's like, oh, the forecast doesn't say any snow, and it is almost 70 degrees, so it's kind of hard to imagine we're going to get snow. Yeah. Did you get snow here?
It felt like it.
We had a great time, came back, the whole family got sick. We've spent the last 5 days dealing with being sick. So.
Are you over it?
Yes, absolutely.
Are you contagious?
I don't believe so. I hope not.
You sneeze over there.
Well, this is the San Carlos Computer Club, and this is our first meeting of 2015. I hope everybody had a new year, a good new year, a fun new year. gracias. I'm being brought coffee. I feel so special with such a great, I see a lot of faces here that I know. It's just, this is neat. This is like a meeting of the mind.
We have all new electronics, and we have no idea how to make them work.
I can't wait. I can't wait to hear about everything you guys got for Christmas. Briefly, we got some new stuff. I had talked earlier about getting the kids tablets. I got two Samsung tablets for the kids. One's a kids-based package that comes from Samsung. It's neat because it's got an interface on it so that my child's 7 years old and she doesn't have to stray into Android. There's an interface that's got a cat or a dog or something on it that bounces around her apps. And so she can pet the cat. But she immediately wanted to know how to change the interface. So now she's been adding her own programs to the interface. And when I first showed her how I had to do some things, because, you know, nothing's perfect, I had to get into the Android side, which is neat, because I can punch in a code, and it'll flip right over to being a standard Android tablet. So I hit kids mode, and it's got a soundtrack in the background, and some pretty bright graphics going on, and a cat, and her own interface right there, with spludge sound, splink, splink. Splink. In fact, that's all I've been hearing for days. Splink, 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 splink.
Maybe that's why you were sick.
I was definitely getting sick of that. In fact, the war cry of the parents in my house now is, can you turn that down, please?
Well, that won't get any better. We got 10 or 15 years of that.
Well, it's gone from can we have your phone, can we have your tablet, to splink, 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 please turn that down.
Oh, goodness, they grow up soon and you wish you had them back.
Well, and now, since they both have their own tablets, so where's the kids? So quiet in here. You look at it back in their bedroom, both of them are lying in bed with a tablet. Headsets on.
Well, that's good.
Like, I don't know if this is good or not, but it's definitely keeping them entertained. Anyway, so that's new tech, and we also got an Xbox 360, which is a gaming console, which probably none of you are interested in. But one thing that is cool about it is it came with a Kinect, a Microsoft Kinect, which is the big seller for the new console, the Xbox One. And the Kinect is, we've talked about it in the past, and it's slightly intrusive because it's like a web camera and an always on web camera, always on microphone. But it's amazing how well it works. And this is on a gaming platform that's over 7 years old. I intentionally waited until I saved like $250 by buying it 7 years old. Wow. I mean, this is a thriving platform that's been around for a long time, and they've recently put out the Xbox One in its place. But what they've done, which is very different for Microsoft, is there's no backwards compatibility at all. So the 360 platform is a thriving platform that will continue to be around for a while. And as far as gaming platforms go, I like to get into them on the tail end. Because that game that cost $70 when it was new, I can buy for $10.
Scott, you said that this was for 7 to 12-year-olds, and we probably wouldn't be interested?
No, I didn't say that. I did say you probably wouldn't be interested in anything except for the Kinect portion of it.
Yeah.
This always-on microphone and webcam. The webcam actually moves around. It can dial itself into your room. So you set it somewhere high, and it scans and sees where the floor is and the top of its view, and then it identifies you in the room. So the new version of this, which is actually a multimedia platform, it's gaming and. Isn't that weird? Gaming and is the new platform. This one that I got is more gaming, but the one that they put out to replace it last year is gaming and. And I got a taste of some of those features using this old platform, like being able to flip through channels like Netflix with my hands. Or even better, just telling it, Xbox, start up Netflix, right, without having to look for a remote control or anything.
Xbox?
Yeah, very cool stuff. Now, the Amazon Fire is doing the same thing with voice. If you already get the Fire TV, you can tell it to go out. Or Xbox Bing Elementary, for example, to find a TV show. And what it would do is it would use a Bing search engine to search through all the services that you have in this, like a Roku has services, looking for one of them or more than one of them that would allow you to watch the elementary TV show. So I thought that was pretty, and all that hands-free, just sitting on the couch going, I think I'll watch, right?
Wow. But talking,
to it, that's right.
You no longer have to sit on the couch.
Right, that's right.
That's gone.
You'll have to find some other way to exercise your thumb.
They're going to be gone.
Well, and the game controller still works, so if you want to play Call of Duty and do that to exercise your thumb. Anyway, that's the technology that got brought to my world. Oh, and a Samsung phone for my wife. We've gone all Samsung now. I'm the only one still on an iPhone.
Scott, the TV part is not live TV, right? It's all stuff that you've shown before.
It depends on the services, really. I mean, it's not inconceivable to think that you subscribe to a service that is live TV.
Oh, okay.
A guide is included in that supports the Bing search, and this voice search stuff is the latest
stuff.
So Roku's
the same kind of deal, right?
Yeah, it would be up to your, but the voice stuff hasn't showed up on Roku yet, unless I'm wrong, unless somebody knows. I don't think I think that's the killer app for the Fire TV. Is that they've integrated this voice search stuff into it. It's definitely the killer app with the Xbox platform. And like I said, the Xbox One would be more a consumer device that you folks might be interested in. If you were interested in the Roku, you might find yourself interested in the Xbox One, because they're really billing themselves as being the center of the home entertainment center.
Well, as long as you're talking about Roku, can I ask you a question about it?
Please? Yeah, yeah, let's get off of this stuff, because you guys aren't interested in gaming anyway.
I might be interested in talking to the TV set.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I thought would be interesting.
Somebody just recently told me about a website called MovieTube.co, and it's free movies, free TV.
MovieTube.co. C-O.
Numerical tube?
No,
probably
MovieTube.
Like YouTube,
like YouTube,
but MovieTube.
And .co, it's not .com, it's .co. And so I don't know how to stream that from my computer to the TV using the Roku. Is that possible?
Yeah, I wonder if that is possible.
I have a Chromecast, I can do it that way.
That's the way I would think you'd have to do it. I don't think that, unless MovieTube had a channel, or there was somebody out there wrote a private channel.
So you have to search channels.
Yeah, yeah, it would be in the channel store if such a thing existed. It would definitely be advertised on there. But I suspect you'll probably not find something.
I tried a whole bunch of things last night.
I remember Linda telling me that the what is the name of that USA TV website?
US TV Now.
So they have a channel for Roku. Yeah, but you have to be paying for the, yeah, the paying customers have access to a Roku channel to watch the stream now.
So you can stream through Roku?
Yes.
You just said yes, you can stream through.
Well, Roku is a streaming box. I'm sorry, I didn't understand the question.
But you can't stream from your computer.
Not that I'm aware of. Yeah, if something has changed recently, I'd like to know about it. But in fact, Roku, there was a period of time where there was a private channel that you could install that would allow you to use the AirPlay, the iTunes, and your iPhone and your iPad to stream stuff to a Roku. But I haven't seen that work in a long time. It seems like you could still install that.
He had a question this morning. He had heard that there's a new Roku coming out. Have you heard anything?
Well, about a specific one?
I was just told that there's something new about Roku that after in 2015.
Yeah.
Wait. Be there to show up and it'll do stuff.
That's why they lowered the price on it.
You know, CES is going on right now. The Consumer Electronics Show in Vegas.
Yeah.
And so next week we're going to know exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Because there's going to be a ridiculous amount of news on products that we tend to call them vaporware. A lot of smoke and mirrors. They make a lot of promises and then you may never see the product.
One of the technologies they were touting in the paper over the show is they have a new technology where instead of your fingerprint or your voice, to recognize your face.
Well, you know, if I didn't make that clear about the Xbox thing, it knows me. I mean, my daughter tried to stand in front of this and play this game where you dance around, and it kept forgetting who she was, and I would walk behind her. And all of a sudden, it would be like, "Hi, Poppy," and she would lose her game. And all of a sudden, I would take it over because it would recognize who I was.
Oh.
And from what I've heard about the Xbox One experience, it's even more bizarre. Like you're sitting on the couch doing your thing, and it announces as somebody else comes in the room, and it knows the other person. It knows you. You can change controllers, right?
Like parental controllers.
No, like they're like these game controllers. You're not gamers, but in game controls in the past identified who you were. I'm on controller one. You're on controller two. I'm playing player one. You're playing player two. But under this new paradigm, I could hand them that controller, they could hand me that their controller, and it wouldn't matter because it knows who I am. It knows I'm now using controller too, and there's no reason it would change my association with my character.
So if it says, "Hi, man with a knife."
Yeah, right.
Nobody's going to sneak up on you.
No person sneaking in the window.
Yeah.
Or that's not your wife behind you.
Oh, there you go. We're not turning on that channel. She's not your wife. Hey, on that note, the Xbox that Santa brought to my kids was a recertified, refurbished, used unit, and I bought it on eBay, got a great price on it, and it works great. I'm very happy with it. But the family parent controls were locked in it. And so tried to stick a PG-13 DVD in it. Wouldn't play it. Tried to open Netflix. Wouldn't let me open Netflix. All these things, there are apps that it wouldn't let me install because they were considered like a PG-13 or higher. And I'm on the internet just trying to find some solution to this problem because it's not a problem on Christmas Day. Nobody's noticing except the tech person. But eventually this is going to be an issue. And I was amazed. I found a lot of people saying, just call Microsoft. They'll help you out with it. And so I finally bit the bullet and called Microsoft. And sure enough, after waiting on hold for a while, they're like, oh, yeah, we can help you with that. Give us a serial number. I gave them the serial number to the box. And they had this ridiculous combination of press left button A and press right button B and up and down and left. Okay, now and here's the important part, blah, blah, blah. Because blah, blah, blah is completely different on each console, and it's based on the serial number. And what was interesting is this code pattern that I had to go through of pressing buttons was exactly the same everybody else was saying on the internet. Oh, you do this! Well, they thought that would work because it worked on their console. But it's like the last four buttons. That's right. And there's no way to get that. I mean, that's like trying to guess somebody's password, right? There's no way to get that without calling Microsoft. But just interesting insights, I'm sure. More questions, please. I'm sorry. I know you're not gamers. You're not interested in this.
I have another one kind of related to that, if nobody has one.
Yeah? Yeah?
You've got a smart TV. If you have a smart TV, do you need to buy Roku or Chromecast or any of that?
Not necessarily. In fact, when Gary said something about a new Roku coming out, one of the things that I know that's been in the background is Roku has licensed its platform to TVs. So it's not going to be inconceivable to think that later in Best Buy we're going to see it. If not a Roku-branded TV set, a TV set like an LG TV set that supports Roku. And that won't mean that you can plug a Roku box into it. That'll mean you can take it home, turn it on, hook it to your Wi-Fi, and log into your Roku account. And you'll be able to have access to all your Roku channels right on
paper. Using the TV.
Using the TV, that's right. Because Roku makes a dumb TV a smart TV. They've taken it a step farther, and they've licensed their platform to TV manufacturers.
So when you buy a smart TV, one of the icons on it is Netflix, right? So if you have a Netflix account,
yes.
If they want to sell the TV, they better have Netflix. Mm-hmm. That is... Right.
So if you have a smart TV and you have a Netflix account right now, for instance, I can't get in because the TV knows I'm in Mexico.
Yeah.
You probably need to start up the TV in the States and then bring it back.
Well, and it gets weirder than that, too, because devices, and it all has to do with licensing and copyright control, but Netflix is region-bound, and so even if you're able to use the smart TV here in Mexico without appearing as though you're in the United States, you're going to get Mexican region content, which really isn't a big deal now. It used to be a really big deal. It used to be you come down here and all you could watch was Vicente Fernandez or Cantinflas, right? Or my favorite was you could watch the entire first season of MacGyver, but in Spanish, because they didn't have it in English, right? But now, after years of Netflix, they've got just this robust catalog of content down here. Yeah, you're doing it without a VPN, aren't you? No, you're not? Who is it? So it's, my folks do it without a VPN.
So if you have a VPN, then can you...
Well, if you have a VPN, that fixes everything. Because the TV thinks it's in the States, your service thinks it's in the States.
Oh, okay.
About Netflix, though, was doing away with somehow blocking some of that.
Well, that's going on, not necessarily with Netflix, but you'll see it on Hulu very much. They've got a vested interest in, they've discovered the pools of IP addresses that get used for VPNs. And so a service like Hulu that makes its money by staying in the United States, they have no prerogative to go outside the United States, then they are proactively checking these IP addresses and stopping them. And they'll give you messages like, you know, this is an IP that's typically used for VPNs. We would appreciate it if you'd access us from within the United States. Please connect to us from a different IP address. And they're basically just slapping your wrist saying, you're doing it wrong.
Aren't they a pay-per-view
service? Well, they're not. Well, okay, to say that better, you're not the one paying for you to be able to view. Their advertisers and content providers are paying for you to be able to view. And so since they don't have an international offering, their content providers do not want their content to go outside. This is Hulu.
H-U-L-U.
Yeah.
Yeah, some friends of mine lost it.
I never watched it.
Yeah, and you would be able to use it if you had a VPN that connects within a pool of IP addresses that are not currently being blocked. Now, this problem is going to go away shortly because we're all switching over to IP6. IP6 has trillions of IP addresses. The moment that they identified a pool of IPs, there'll be 100,000 other IPs that could be used in its place.
Now what's IP6?
Well, it's just a new standard. It's actually not new. It's been around forever. But for a long time, we've known we were going to run out of these IP addresses. And so they've had this other standard of addressing that's been growing up alongside, being ready to take over when we run out of IPv4 addresses. And IPv4 address are those four, what is it? It's four numbers separated by periods, grouped in three, and they're typically like 198.162. So that is an IPv4 standard IP address.
So Scott, when it switches to IPv6, will the companies we use now, like IMIS, will they switch along with us, or will it be new companies?
Yeah, but it's not going to be graceful. In fact, the graceful part of all this is people have been doing IPv6 for years now, and you're not aware of it because you've never switched over. What they've been doing is running alongside. Yeah. And so actually when I say it's not been graceful, it's because we could have been on IP6 years ago. And it's only now we're being forced over to it because we've run out of IP4 addresses.
So there might be a month or two delay before you actually get that back again?
Well, what's happened, you're going to upgrade your equipment at some point. You're going to walk away from IP4 at some point in the future. And you're going to find that your provider's already made provisions for that. And it's going to be that weekend that's going to be painful as you try and figure out how to set up your new or your old equipment for this new system. Yeah.
So if, like right now, I don't have my VPN, so is there a way that I can make sure that I get start off with
it? It won't matter. All the new pieces of, like if you were to buy into a piece of equipment for... If you were to buy into a new piece of equipment for a VPN in the last 7 years, it's ready for IP6.
And piece of equipment being a router?
Yeah, like a router for your VPN. Your smart TV, your computers, any if I can confidently say if it's within the last 7 years, it's already ready for IP6.
Like my poke bump.
Yeah, it would be ready for IP6.
Poke bumps is nothing but a router, right?
That's right.
Okay. You have a router to start off with just to make your system work, correct?
Yes.
The Telnet one, right?
Yeah.
That's a modem.
That is a modem, router, switch, and Wi-Fi.
Right. So then it's
all built into one.
So a Buffalo Box is a wireless router?
Yeah, it's everything but a modem.
But a modem.
It's everything I just mentioned but a modem. It's typically a Wi-Fi, it's typically a switch for plugging cables into, it's a router.
Okay, so if you have a Buffalo Box, why couldn't you then stream from the TV through the Buffalo Box?
Stream
from the computer to the TV.
You can. Yeah, but you need equipment on the TV to receive a stream.
Well, equipment is better.
Well, I've mentioned before, I've been using this Plex Media server. Where I have a Plex channel on the Roku, so the Roku is my equipment.
Is that a private channel?
It's well, what it requires the channel is you buy it from Roku, or you buy the Plex Pass, and then that entitles you to the channel for free. But the key ingredient is the server. The key ingredient is the Plex Media server that you install in your computer. Then it makes whatever content you have on your computer available through streaming. Bob, to give you an idea, I have a Plex Pass now because I got so much value out of using this Plex server that I went ahead and bought myself a lifetime membership with it. And what that allows me to do is find my Plex server anywhere on the internet. And so I can go to my Plex server that's sitting in my house from a web browser on my computer or a Plex client on my tablet, and bring up that content and be able to watch videos or listen to music that I have sitting on my desk on my Macintosh.
So that would allow you to have a security system in your house?
No. No. Well, this would just be, well, this is media streaming. If you were talking about security systems, I'd be a different beast. I mean, a different kind of streaming. But there's probably things you could do for that, too.
When you're talking about your kids having something up high and you see what's going on around the room, that's nothing but video camera.
Or are you talking about this, the Xbox, going back to the, mm-hmm. the Xbox Kinect?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it would be doable. I haven't seen it yet, but I've thought about that, where since I've got this gaming system that has a webcam and has a microphone, It could work as a server for video, so you could use it as a home monitor. I need to look for it. It's in the back. It's on my list of things that I want to check out. Because if not the Xbox 360, the Xbox One would be a perfect platform for that.
Well, the cars that have a camera for the teenage kids that are driving, so the parents can see exactly where they're going all the time, or on the front end of your skis.
Right, the GoPros, yeah.
Yeah, or you do skydiving and you want a little camera, but and you see that in your TV, that's a private channel, right?
Yeah. Well, yes and no. I mean, it's you put security on it, and as far as like going down the slopes, typically that's stuff being recorded and uploaded later. It's not necessarily a live stream, but some people are doing live streaming like that. Yeah, most of the people doing that stuff, what they're doing is they're recording it and storing it to bring back to a computer. But it's not unheard of to be able to do that kind of live streaming. I mentioned CES, and one of the networks, podcast networks I follow is called the Twit Network, and they actually send This Week in Tech is what it stands for. They send reporters to CES, and they've got reporters that are wearing GoPros, and they have 4G LTE connectivity through cell networks, and they're streaming back high-definition video to be broadcast from their network online. So they're doing it in real time. But there's less of that that's happening with you and me, and most of it's because of data plans on cell networks.
If you turn on your TV and you're watching live TV, is that streaming something else?
Yeah, you can think of it that way. I mean, streaming is a real loose topic. I mean, I normally think of it as meaning real time, anything that's happening in video or audio in real time.
These police cameras you mentioned, they're having, now, would that be being recorded or would that be live?
That would be both.
They got in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
The dispatcher could give the assistance somehow.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Okay.
And they can have, I mean, I like the police camera idea because you could have a large amount of intelligence behind monitors watching what's happening. It's a little eerie because the military's been doing it now for years. Yeah, I mean, this is real common in the military. So what we're seeing is this function creep from military into the police force. And that in itself, I think, always needs to be kept in check. I don't want the police force to have armored vehicles and tanks and SWAT teams. That stuff makes me really nervous. But if you're going into East LA and you need to check, right?
Don't go.
I like the idea that there can be a consultant behind a monitor looking at what a police officer is dealing with and whispering in their ear, this is what you should tell this person so they don't pull out a gun, right? This is how to keep yourself from getting shot in this circumstance.
They had that on Bin Laden. They kept you from them.
Right, yeah. So what's been proposed is that we start seeing those kinds of outfits in police forces across the United States. I think it is one of the most intelligent adoptions of technology from the military, because you could get yourself into a situation, I mean, as a police force, you could get yourself into a situation where you don't have any expertise locally. And so immediately you could switch over to Chicago. Chicago's got 4 experts on call, and they could see what, I don't know, what Sacramento's dealing with, right? Well, because of the technology, that's the comparison, is the same kind of thinking can be used. It's like sending your x-rays off to India, right? because it's cheaper and there's some guy there that knows how to do it, right?
Yeah. Well, they already have the technology here. They have the phone monitor, right, that you can put in on the scan and the doctor's office may put it on in.
Right. Yeah, yeah. All right. Only because nobody else has got a question.
This is probably a dumb question, but I'll ask anyway. With the Roku, can you plug it into from the TV to USB in the TV to USB in the Roku and not need the electrical outlet?
Yes. That's one of the reasons that USB port is there, is the power devices that need power. So, yeah, it would. Yeah.
Now I have a question.
Okay.
We have, at home, we have 2 computers. We have access to 2 wireless, 2 internet sites.
Okay.
Telmex is one. We just put it in because the other one is crap. My computer runs really well on the Infinitum, whatever it is, the Telmex.
Yeah, the Infinitum.
Cheryl's computer will start off running really well on it, and then it. Chrome seems to lose it. You'll get grind away when you want to go to a site, and then they'll say web page not found, and then it'll bring it up. It's like it's losing its connection and getting it back all the time.
Well,
is there something?
It's not like it's dropping the Wi-Fi connection.
I don't think so. No,
because that would be pretty obvious. Because you'd have messages popping up saying network.
It doesn't seem to be losing it.
Okay. But it's just like, you know, I wonder, you mentioned another network.
Mine is Windows 7, hers is Windows 8. That's the only real difference between the two.
I have that problem sometimes. I have Windows 7 as well. I thought it was just because there were too many people on the internet or something.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's like you guys are sitting next to each other. Yeah, you're having no problems.
No.
And she's going, having like this wave of success.
Yeah. And like I'll check the speed on either one.
And it looks good.
Five.
On either computer.
Yeah.
Now, you have sexual priority?
No. We keep that separate. And it comes in waves.
I was going to make a bad joke of what are you doing on your computer while she's trying to use her computer.
The question is what's she doing on hers.
Well, you know, that might be it. It might be, I mean, have you ever just picked up whatever she's doing and started doing it on your computer to see if you had the same experience?
I would just pull up her Chrome account. I could do that.
Yeah, well, I mean,
that's
just,
what she's working with is Chrome, and she has.
Oh, like her email.
Well, Facebook. Facebook's a good example. She'll go to a page on Facebook, and it will. It sits there and grinds, and then eventually comes.
So then at the same time, are you doing Facebook?
Yep. Oh yeah.
And
you're
And you're using Chrome as well.
Yes.
What if you're crowding? Are you crowding the bandwidth?
Well, even when I'm not on at all,
yeah.
She still has the same problem. She eventually goes back to the the other Wi-Fi, the other internet access. San Carlos condos.
So you've got your own, but you also have a community.
Yeah, the one that was there, but it was really bad. It still is.
But she actually gets better luck off the other Wi-Fi.
Yeah, she uses it almost exclusively.
Oh my gosh. What is that problem? That's crazy.
And it appears to be a Chrome problem. Like, the only other way I have to test it is PokerStars. PokerStars is a client. It's out there.
Ah, okay.
It's a client that doesn't use...
As long as it's not my cooling fan.
Yeah. But it's a client that doesn't use Chrome. So I can log on to it, and it seems to stay connected on both of them, no problem. So
say that again?
Like, you know, it's always inside Chrome and she's having trouble.
Has she tried a different web browser?
Yes, the same problem.
And has the same problem?
Firefox.
Okay. So it's not Chrome, it's gosh, that is really odd. What's running through my mind right now is Wi-Fi interference. Something specific with her particular Wi-Fi card. That's a good suggestion.
Do I have to set something to?
No.
Just plug and plug in as you go.
You might.
Well, I tried that. I couldn't get any connection at all.
You should only have to plug a cable between the laptop and the router.
And the router.
And at the very most, you may have to go disconnect the Wi-Fi. So that the computer doesn't get confused about which.
Yeah, but I got like, don't you normally get a light somewhere on the router or the?
Yeah,
when something should light up.
Right, to but say there's connectivity.
I wasn't getting any. I'm not sure what.
If you're plugged into an Ethernet, it'll show the indicator.
Yeah, but
maybe
I should try mine on there.
Mm-hmm. Make sure it's not something silly like the cable doesn't work.
Yeah, well, it's brand new cable.
And
but that could be no, I know.
And the and the jack that you plug it in, each jack can have its own personality. I found that I have to pull cables in and out, up and down, and sometimes you have trouble seating the cable in there.
No, I tried it. I didn't get a connection. I'm pretty sure I didn't. So I just gave up on that one for the moment.
Let's keep doing that cable.
Yeah, cat fight.
Yeah, so maybe. I mean, if that's the case and the cable's good and you can make a connection with your laptop, then maybe she's got Ethernet turned off for some reason.
Well, the internet's on because she can access it.
But the physical hardware might be turned off because that's a configuration in laptops. You can tell it to turn off the Ethernet. There could even be a power profile that's saying that if you're running off battery, turn off the cable connection to save electricity. There can be stuff like that going on.
Because it was disconnected. I had to move it over to the router.
Yeah.
But that still doesn't solve the other problem.
No, it doesn't. But at the very least, it would narrow the focus of the problem. If she was having the same problem across the cable, then there's some issue in her computer.
She doesn't have any problem. Like she comes here, she has no problem at all. Or any of the free Wi-Fi.
Right. And you said she has no problems using the other Wi-Fi.
Other than it's crappy Wi-Fi.
So what I'm imagining is going on is your guys' Wi-Fi, at this point what I'm imagining is your Wi-Fi is on a channel that your computer has no problems maintaining a connection to.
Okay.
And that's not the physical connection where it's
no.
where it's like dropping it and reconnecting.
But hers is having.
But hers has got, if you could imagine, like a phone line with static
yep.
across it. Because
that's about what it appears like, because it goes away, and if you leave it long enough, it comes back.
Yeah.
And the page will show up.
And I've definitely seen that behavior before in Wi-Fi.
And what do I do about it?
You try and get on a different channel, one that's more...
How do I change
the
channel?
The router that you use would need to be set to a static channel. There's actually, I use an application called it's called Insider with two S's because it's a play on SSID.
Oh, okay.
And what that allows me to see is a spectrum of Wi-Fi's around the local area.
Mm-hmm.
And what you might find is that one of your neighbors is using the same channel. There's something introducing interference on there.
There's another Telmex two doors over.
It's really not uncommon. If you sit down in any neighborhood nowadays, you'll find
yeah.
like a dozen Wi-Fi's. And any number of them could be using the same channel you're trying to use. And each given piece of equipment will have its own level of success on any given channel. So you've got two possible problems. One is an interference problem from somebody else. The other is just poor quality hardware, and it just doesn't like that channel.
You don't like the computer.
Is it an HP?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't like your computer anyway. Yeah. No, it could very well just be poor quality Wi-Fi equipment. But switching channels, and you know, without having to hire me or
yes.
somebody like me to come help you, one of the things that you could do easily is when she has that problem, go to your router and turn it off and turn it back on.
Yeah.
And just unplug it,
just
wait 10 seconds, plug
it
back
in. It's got
a
power button on the back.
Yeah. And so what that would do, if there's interference with a neighbor, it should, as it's coming on, see that that other channel's being used. And pick a new channel to use. When it picks a new channel, it'll force your computer and her computer to go on that new channel and see if she gets the same kind of behavior. Now, that's not a guarantee. Really lousy equipment will go right back to its old channel. And so that may not resolve the issue. But if it does resolve the issue, then it could very well be an interference issue that you've got.
Scott, when does a router become necessary?
A router is always necessary.
The modem and the router always.
Yeah.
If your Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
I mean, and I guess I got to say that kind of tongue-in-cheek because I know what we all are having to deal with when we get connected to the Internet. You want a router because of everything it brings. It brings a personalized network. It brings a firewall to protect you. So you're not just hanging out there on the Internet naked. I think a router is always necessary. There are occasions where it's fundamentally necessary, like the modem that you get from Telmex is fundamentally a router as well. You can't get one without the other. It's inherent in that equipment.
So if you have that, you don't need it.
You don't necessarily need your own router. But typically the equipment that you get from Telmex isn't necessarily the highest quality equipment. And you might find you're having a problem that can be resolved just by having better equipment.
Because my situation, I didn't have all the facing down and the waiter crash.
Yeah.
Yeah. My situation, I've got two computers.
That'd be great.
I thought you had a repeater you were using.
I remember I had a better one now.
Okay.
So my signal from the phone company was good, like a 490. I can't get it to really hardly anything. So I've been my living room looks like a downtown line of school.
You're running cables.
You're running cables everywhere.
Yeah.
And so a router might solve that.
Well, you have a router. I think you've got the Telmex router, and then you had a repeater.
Yeah.
I just can't remember which repeater you have.
It doesn't. I even have that on.
So you got some other issue going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. you might want me to come back and take a look at what's going on.
On the modem router, the Telmex, there's two buttons. One's the little Wi-Fi symbol.
Okay.
And one is a WPS button.
All right.
What are they?
You always try and keep WPS off.
Okay.
It stands for Wired Protection Services.
Yeah, it's off normally. You have to push it to turn it off.
Yeah, it's I try to disable them in all of our routers. If you hire me to come over, I'll turn off WPS. WPS is a push-button system that was developed by the industry, became an industry standard, where you could have a very high level of encryption, but you could easily set it up on your computer. And so on the face, it's a great thing, because you can take a device without knowing the password to the Wi-Fi and walk up to the Wi-Fi and press the button at the moment the device tells you to press the button. And at that moment, it will feed it the password without you having to know what it is. In that respect, it was a really well-intended idea. Since then, we've discovered it to be one of the worst security threats that exists. And the recommendation in all security circles is to not use it, turn it off when you find it running. It is easier to get around than other schemes. And so I don't encourage people to use it. I try and turn it off whenever I see it. Now, that being said, there is equipment that wants to persistently turn it back on. And the Telmex modems, some of those are that way.
It seems to me it's off normally. If I reset it, it's off. What about the Wi-Fi, the button for the little antenna? What's it for?
That's to turn off Wi-Fi.
Oh.
If you hit that button, it just turns off the Wi-Fi radio.
So it's normally lit?
Well, whatever normal is.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Well, like when you
normal, if you were to reset it back to factory defaults, it would be lit.
Yeah.
But all you, if you tap the button, it would come unlit. You tap the button, it'll light back up. It's just basically an on or off. It's a physical switch for your Wi-Fi. And that's a particular modem. That's not everybody's Infinitum modem at this table. That's your Infinitum modem. They've got a half a dozen models out there. And I recognize what you're talking about from experience with those.
So if we can't solve this, I only have two choices. Get you to come and look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Or go to Telmex and say, I need a new router. Or buy a better one.
Well, if it turns out to be a router problem.
Yeah.
I mean, it feels like it's a router problem. It feels like it.
Yeah.
But it may not be the router's fault. It might be the traffic in your area.
You need that Telmex box that they give you with the account, or can you go buy your own and put it in there? Everything's fine.
Yeah, you need a modem that they support connecting to their network. And there is none except for the ones that they sell us.
So that's part of the deal.
That's right.
Oh, so you can't change it. Yeah, other
well, that's the reason you can bring one in that's having problems and they'll just hand you a new one. All of you have probably had this experience at one point where the modem just didn't feel like it was working right and you brought it in and they just gave you another one. See, there was a time period where they used to charge us for that equipment. They used to tell us we owned it. Now they take complete responsibility for it. If that device doesn't work, you don't get internet. You're not using their service. And so they reserve the rights to replace it with a completely identical one.
Mm-hmm.
But if it were to burn up because of electricity, they would just hand you a new one as you handed them the burnt one. It's that easy, but you need it. There's no way around it. You need equipment that will connect up to their network.
And that's the only ones they have.
You can't buy one that would connect to their network.
You know, I was having so much trouble. I went online for Thomas. They have two other pieces of equipment that extend your power. One of them you plug into an electrical outlet and it runs through your whole electric system. Now, I don't know if there's going to be charge. I asked one of the fairmen, he said, we don't have those. They might have them in wireless. So that was before the holiday. So I didn't see that they could bring one out yet. But anyway, and then there's another one that extends. There's two different things they have that can extend the power.
Yeah, or extend the range of the Wi-Fi.
The range, sorry, yeah. The range, yeah.
Yeah, and what they've got are two devices that are very similar in that you plug them into a power outlet. One is a receiver and the sender, or they're both transceivers, but they run through the power lines and they send the network through the power lines to the other device, and the other device is plugged into whatever it needs to be plugged into, whether it's a Wi-Fi router or it's a printer or a desktop computer, but it sends internet through the power lines of your house. They have another device. They do work. They've been around for years, and they do work. I get scared using them in Mexico, and it has to do with the way electricity's wired more than anything else. I don't like the idea of plugging data devices into electricity devices. If you follow what I mean. Yeah, without grounds.
Voltage
fluctuations. Just the idea of getting jolted by a... No, that's a great topic to bring up with Don. Yeah, in fact, if people aren't aware, next week should be a lot of fun because Big Don's going to come talk to us about his whole house surge protection. And we can ask him about voltage regulation. We can ask him about what kinds of devices to expect to be protected by the installation. That's a great question about running networks through the power lines, because I'm always really scared to do that around here. I don't recommend it to people. But if he told us to feel comfortable doing it, then that might be a new thing I'd start recommending for people. Because these cement rebar houses make it really hard to pass Wi-Fi everywhere. Yes?
I have something I'm sharing with you. I watched a CNN interview with a fellow who has a business called SnoopWall.com. SnoopWall.
SnoopWall.com.
And the interview that was involving research that this fellow had. Relationship to people downloading flashlights to smartphones.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And you have a problem of 300 with all kinds of information.
Really?
Yeah.
He said that the only way to if you've already done it, the only way to get rid of that stuff is to take your phone to the provider and have it move on. Because it will remain broken like that, even if you try to keep it. And then he said that if you want to download, yes, if you want to download a flashlight, you go under 1 kilobyte. You find one that's under 1 kilobyte, and they have a difficult time trying to do the same thing.
Well, here at first I thought he was more paranoid than me, but maybe not, because I wouldn't download a flashlight app for anything. That's right. In fact, that's the reason in the latest releases of iOS and in Android, they've included their own flashlights, because they don't want you to be tempted to install a flashlight app. The flashlight app, what a controversy that has turned into. Because at the very least, they're collecting your personal data. But the worst exploits are compromising your phone all the time, or your tablet. And I don't know why flashlight apps, they tend to talk about that. I mean, why wouldn't it be a productivity app as well? Why wouldn't we be concerned about...
Because you use a flashlight all the time.
Well, I don't think it's so much that you use the flashlight all the time. It is one thing that was not being included in these phones. It was like one of the first Swiss Army knife things that people decided they needed on their phone. But I think it's also nobody's paying attention to flashlights. And so all of a sudden there was dozens and dozens of these apps out there compromising people's privacy and their security. And nobody was reviewing them. Nobody was checking them out. They just thought they were silly little apps.
Now, you're not China. Talking about the flashlight that comes with, for example,
no.
Samsung.
No, the flashlight that comes with Samsung and the flashlight that comes with the Apple products, Yeah, those were created because of this problem. Those are iterations on the latest versions, and it's to conquer this problem. So you're not out looking for a flashlight app.
China had a demonstration, and they all at night turned on their flashlights, and you could see millions of people. I'm thinking, oh, can you imagine the amount of information collection? I have a different question.
Okay, Bob.
Okay. It has to do with what we talked about a couple of weeks ago, several weeks ago, Twitter and Facebook. I was looking at Twitter this over the holidays, thinking that I could communicate to people. And I found out that I couldn't communicate to people. They have to want to listen to you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, right.
Okay? And yet Facebook is different.
You feel like you have no choice. You're just getting inundated with Facebook.
Well, no.
But you could not go into Facebook.
Okay, I've been very resistant to do Facebook.
Okay.
Like, dangerous.
Yeah.
But I'm changing my mind about that simply because if you see on TV, they want you to call you or comment on something. They do not list a email address.
Right.
They list Facebook or Twitter. Mm-hmm. And that's it. And so I've been thinking, okay, looks like Facebook, you can communicate. If they'll get it, whether they read it or something else.
Well, right. And our discussion before, we were talking about the global conversation. And that's why larger businesses hate Twitter more and they hate Facebook more. Because people are paying it and they want to hear what you have to say. Whereas littler businesses don't get as much recognition. So people aren't paying attention. When you get on Twitter and you complain about my service, which I hope you'll complain to me first. But seriously, who's going to listen to that? I mean, a handful of people in San Carlos. But if you get on Twitter and start complaining about AT&T, immediately there's going to be a customer support guy trying to help make you happy. Because the whole world can see the spike that you have for their services. And that's the big difference. And they put that stuff out there, not because they want to, but because they have to. Because if it goes their way, it's amazing promotion for their business. But if it goes the other way, they need to be able to jump on it as quickly as possible. The last thing they need is a Facebook conversation going on that doesn't include them. I mean, where we're bitching about the way AT&T is treating us, right? And nobody's invited them to the conversation. So they've got hundreds of people listening to this horrible experience you're having, and they're the last ones hearing it. So they put it out there because it's in their best interest to be part of those conversations, even though they hate it. They would like to see it all go away. It'll never go away. They're finally replacing email, they're replacing phone support with these because these conversations are going to happen regardless of whether they want them to or not. They can support one platform if they do it well. They can support the social network idea. And if they do it well, it's in their favor. But if they don't do it all, they miss out. They lose out. They lose to their competitors.
That's an advantage to both sides. An advantage to the business also to show that they're correct. And it's an advantage that they are correct. Whereas if you have a bad experience somewhere and you give that out to 10 people, that business doesn't have the ability to show that they're correct. It's 10 people that you gave a negative.
No, absolutely. And even though, you know, like people, businesses, governments, they don't like the change. But this is one of the advantages of the changes of this technology. And it's not necessarily they have to make it an advantage for them. And when they're making it an advantage for them, it's been made an advantage for you. So you do both win from it. It's when they're doing the stuff that you're complaining about in the first place, you're losing and they're losing. That's where this global conversation really comes to play. Because, well, I'll never use them again.
Question.
Yeah.
It's probably been covered and I just don't understand. Is there a way with Netflix, either Mexico or U.S., to store content to play
on any device at a later time.
Not with Netflix. It's part of the reason that they're able to have an international offering. It's all licensing agreements, but no. Now, with Amazon, there is, but Amazon won't let you download that content. And from Maggie's personal experience, won't let you download it if you're outside the country.
Let me comment on that because, first of all, the copyright is involved in storing any movie, for example, except like you buy the movie. Now,
except
I
what?
Have a device that I used to use, but I just don't use it anymore, that would record anything that, even including playing a movie off TV, to go to the edit. No, not that one. That one won't do it, but I did have one that would record anything that you played on TV as a record.
Or any
in real time.
Yeah, and you mean anything that could be played on the TV, right?
No, it would, anything that was played on the TV.
So how did it go out to the device?
The TV.
So it would actually get the signal at the same time a TV would. I essentially what you're saying is anything that could be put on a TV screen could be recorded.
So you could have recorded Netflix?
I could have recorded Netflix. I don't use it anymore. I'm not even sure I still have the device.
Yeah, you know, what
it does exist.
What you're asking about, I wish did exist. It matters less in the United States now that people are getting 16 to 30 megabits a second, or they're getting fiber optic lines to their house. This idea that your movies are stored way out there somewhere and you have instant access to it really does exist for people. It just doesn't exist for us because we live here and we've got slow internet connections and we've got iffy connections in the United States.
Well, that's the purpose. It's a friend that has. That maybe in the Sierra in the summertime would like to record things while they're here in the wintertime to take up and watch in the summer.
Mm.
So you say it is possible in Amazon?
If you're paying for Amazon, then they give you the option to stream or to download.
Okay. Only if you have a USB.
That's right. And so if you're...
You need a VPN plus Amazon.
Right, and that doesn't sound like it's necessarily what your friend's looking for. I mean, it sounds similar, but it doesn't really... Because it sounds like he's got access to something down here that he doesn't have access to in the States.
There's no...
No, it's in
Sierra's in Mexico. They have... They
in,
have
New,
very,
in New Mexico?
Mexico.
Yeah, so you... Oh, he wants to bring stuff from here to there.
Yeah.
From San Carlos to Yucca.
Exactly.
All right, I got you.
That's all.
Okay.
Because you can't get content up there. They don't have internet.
It's just, he needs a BitTorrent client, and he can just download whatever he needs. That's the real answer to that problem. Because they don't build devices that allow you to buy DVRs. You could... Yeah, I mean, you could have a DirecTV and you could DVR stuff, and then you could move the DVR between Yucca and here.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah, that would, because what I was describing with Amazon is they fundamentally, the same program that you could stream through the internet, you can just download and keep as a file and take with you.
But you buy it, right?
If you buy it.
Not if you rent it.
And that goes the same for these other services.
Yeah, more expensive to buy it, and therefore,
iTunes would work the same way.
I'd give you a lot of
Yeah? On Prime. Yeah, for download or just for streaming? It seems like Prime gives you just for streaming.
You rent it. But if you go on Amazon and buy the movie for much more money, then you can get it from time to time.
I think works. I don't do that.
Yeah.
It is streaming Amazon Prime. That you get it free.
The books you put there.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, now the books you can't put on other devices because they're Kindle books. You have to hack the books to put them on other devices. The movies, if you were to buy them and download them, they're open to be put on whatever device can read that format.
It's kind of like buying a movie on a disc.
BBB.
And then the streaming, I mean, it's taken us years to sort out this, because Amazon didn't know their model. I mean, they're figuring it out. But the streaming is very similar to Netflix. What they're offering, I mean, they're offering free shipping, and they've got other things that go along with it. But in the end, they're trying to capture the same kind of customer base, one that's paying a monthly fee to have access to a library. And it has the same caveats that the Netflix library has. There's always the possibility that, and I always like to use Star Trek as my example, because I'm a Star Trek fan. It's like, if I couldn't consider Netflix my Star Trek library, because at any moment they can lose their copyrights to it, and it would be taken out of Netflix. So I can't think of my Star Trek library as living in Netflix because of those licensing agreements. Right? That's how quickly something could come or go from that. What you're really purchasing is the availability of whatever they currently have licensing agreements to, if that makes sense.
Can I ask you a question? And I know you've been having a dozen times, but I'm a slow learner.
That's what we're here for.
I'm back to me, but I'm trying to read. I've got Chromecast.
Okay.
And I went to Telecast and tried to do it through that.
I'm not sure what Telecast is.
But it was like hard to ask. It was with all those.
Oh, okay.
Things. And still wouldn't do it. So I haven't quite gotten, do I need a VPN and hide my ass?
Hide my ass is a VPN.
Okay.
You don't necessarily need a VPN for Netflix.
I have a Netflix account.
That's fine. You should be able to have access to the Mexican catalog.
Just go to hide my ass.
She doesn't need hide my ass.
You don't need a VPN. What you would get is Netflix should work. Now, and I'm glad you're still here, because we digressed from your smart smart TV.
I'm so confused.
Okay.
I mean, I spent like 3 hours messing with my computer, and then spent another 3 hours trying to put it back the way it was.
Okay. What we have discovered throughout the last few months is that the Chromecast device, it will allow you to stream Netflix without a VPN, as long as you're satisfied with the Latin American catalog. Now, the Latin American catalog is now very robust, has lots of U.S. programming. Many people come down now, they start doing Netflix, they don't even realize that it's a different offering.
So,
well, what I would say is, first off, if you're using a Chromecast with Netflix, it should be working.
And it's American.
Right. It should be working. Now, what might not work, it should work in general. What might not work is...
When I put it up on my computer, it says, you know, you're a neuron, like, you know, you can't do this and that.
You can't do anything at all.
Okay.
I'm doing it right now.
I get the pictures, you know, on the
You get the catalog.
I get the catalog, and then it says you cannot.
Okay.
You have to keep
How long have you had your Netflix account?
Oh, I don't know, 3 or 4 years.
You get DVDs as well?
Well, that's all right, yeah. At home.
At home you get DVDs. So what Netflix has done is they've region locked that account.
Yes. Yep, and that's what they're telling me.
So the only way you can do it is through a VPN.
You do need
a VPN, but I would recommend changing your account, because you're paying a premium for a service that you're probably, I don't know how often you're doing DVDs. Most people aren't doing DVDs anymore, and they're charging you a premium for that. And this is one of the things, one of the limitations of those kinds of accounts. Because they're trying to nudge you into the cheaper streaming accounts.
So what should I do? Cancel my account?
Well, yeah, soul searching first. Because how many DVDs are you doing? I mean, if you're actually ordering DVDs more than you're streaming.
Oh, I'm streaming.
Streaming
you're
is.
Not getting DVDs. No, I'm not getting DVDs.
You're not getting DVDs in the mail.
No. Yes, I am. But I put that on hold while I was going.
Okay, then How often are you doing that when you're at home?
Oh, about once a week.
Okay, so you're an avid DVD receiver, right? You get them in the mail.
I guess I am.
Well, no, I mean, it's just unusual. It's not what people do as often anymore.
But I'm thinking about quitting it. That's good.
I would recommend that because I think you're paying $5 to $10 more a month just to have that access. And within 5 months, you could buy a Roku box.
I've got one of those.
And
I use a Roku.
And you could just stream all that content.
Okay, yeah. So, actually, I canceled it. I canceled the DVD.
Well, then something's wrong with your account.
Should I cancel that?
Well, it needs to be switched to streaming only. And because what you're describing where it says you're in the United States and you can't do this
yes.
is associated with older accounts that do physical DVDs. And
okay.
when that's shut off, you're yeah. supposed to have, when you're doing pure streaming, then you have international access to Netflix.
Okay, so I'll go in and go to streaming only.
Now, and the reason you would do this is because the catalog they have in Mexico is so large now that you don't have to actually consider a VPN.
Okay.
So what you're really, here's your decision making. Do I do DVDs enough
no.
that I'd rather pay for a VPN? That's
no.
that's what you're trying to decide.
So.
Let me give another thought to it. If you have a Rupo in the States,
yeah.
and it's set up in the States,
yeah.
if somebody could send it to you down here, you could use it.
Yeah, yeah. That's the other thing that we've done, and that's the reason I mentioned the smart TV again, is that over the last few months we've learned Chromecast out of the box is going to stream Netflix. It's going to be the Latin American catalog. I'm trying to make that abundantly clear what that means.
Well, that's fine.
The Roku, the newest Rokus, like the Roku 3 and the Roku 2 will stream Netflix down here.
U.S. Netflix.
Well, not U.S. Netflix. It's still the Latin American catalog. But you have to have it set up in the States first. It had the Netflix box, and one of the ways you can do that, like Maggie and I did it, we set up a VPN first, and then set up the Netflix account. Or no, I'm sorry, set up the Roku account through the VPN. What happens when you set up a Roku account is it looks at your location. It doesn't ask you. It looks and sees where you're setting it up. If you set up your new Roku box in Mexico, Netflix is not one of your options. Because devices can be region code services. That's the way around it down here.
So is that the same thing with the smart TV?
That's right.
So
devices are region coded and services are region coded. And you can get a smart TV that does not support Netflix in Mexico. The exact same TV in the United States would support Netflix.
So we just bought a new TV. We bought it in the States, but we brought it down here
mm-hmm.
and took it out of the box and plugged it in. So it
so
the TV already knows in Mexico and
one
it's too
well,
late.
One of the first things that might happen is it might offer you a software update.
I don't remember if it did or not.
You don't want to update the software to the TV unless you've got it on a U.S. network. If it's one of these TVs that is not licensed for Netflix in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had this experience a couple of times now. And it doesn't seem to matter the name brand. It matters the model of the name brand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so like in my experience, I was dealing with a Sony TV and a Samsung TV. And in both experiences, what happened was they were using it for... I'm sorry, one was a TV and the other one was a Blu-ray box.
Mm-hmm.
And in both experiences, the device ended up on the Mexican network. And like they'd been using Netflix with the Latin American catalog without a VPN, with no problems. At some point, it ended up connected to the Mexican network, like the Infinitum,
mm-hmm.
instead of the Cloak box. I'm sorry, scratch that first part. They weren't using the Latin American catalog. They were using VPNs. They're using VPNs to go to the States. They ended up off the VPN, but on the Infinitum. The TV said there's a firmware update, as it should, because there's different software for different regions. And so when it found the TV in Mexico, inadvertently,
mm-hmm.
the owner saw this message, oh, there's a software upgrade, that's got to be a good thing, installed the software upgrade, and lost Netflix.
Hmm.
Because Netflix is not licensed for that TV in this region.
Okay, but okay. Her, back to her case, if she had someone mail her Rufo down here, she could use it, couldn't she?
Oh,
right.
I don't want to do that.
Well,
you know, it's not.
Well, and Chester's.
Not, nobody ever had a Rufo.
Yeah, all she'd have to do also, if you found a Roku, a brand new Roku in the box you wanted to set up down here, you'd just have to find a friend with a VPN.
Which I have.
And take it over to Chester's house and set it up there.
Can't use my Chromecast. No.
I'd use a VPN.
Well, the VPN, yeah. The VPN is a connection into the United States to masquerade as though you're in the States. And so if you put the Roku on the one end of the VPN, it would allow you to set up as though you were in the States.
I don't have a Roku. Well,
okay.
I got the Comcast, and that won't work.
Okay. That should work without any issue.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You just have to clear up the Netflix.
Or get a VPN. Yeah. And that's why I was saying your decision making is...
Okay, so if I get a VPN, I'm in business.
Right. Do I rent DVDs, the physical DVDs, often enough that it's worth paying for a VPN? Because if you don't,
get a new account.
Yeah, just have your account switched over to purely streaming. You'll save money on the DVDs, and the VPN won't be necessary.
And I want
to do that on somebody's VPN.
No.
You don't have to.
She's got a Chromecast. Oh, to change the account.
Should
be on a VPN? Yeah, oh gosh, I can't remember how to do that.
She wants to get in.
You might be able to just get into your account and tell them you want to change your account. I think that works for you.
Yeah,
I think you can sign in.
Tell them I want to
What? Well, tell them you want to change your account to purely streaming.
Yeah.
You guys are messing me up.
And I think what you're going to do is when you go into billing and account information, I mean, I haven't looked at it in a long time, but the last time I looked at it, it was like a radio button going, would you like to switch your... Because they want you to switch to streaming.
Oh, God,
yeah.
I haven't thought of that.
Yeah, they want you to do it.
But then, see, if I'll get the next...
Netflix has been paying the U.S. Post Office lots of money for those DVDs.
Yes.
And the DVDs themselves, they've got to pay for. They get lost, stolen, broken. And
right.
So it's in... Their business model is to get you into streaming.
If you were to contact somebody like you're talking about...
You can tweet them.
If you want to contact somebody...
If you are an avid Twitter user, a really fast way to get it sorted out is you could tweet at Netflix going, how come I can't use the Mexican Netflix down
there's
here?
There's nobody around this table that Twitters. We found that out.
I do.
Yes, I do. I've got three Twitter accounts.
Okay.
Would it be helpful for this particular group to have telephone numbers of Netflix?
No.
Would it be helpful?
No.
Microsoft?
No. Maybe for Xbox, because there's no other way to get a hold of them. But the telephone numbers are an introduction to a maze of voice menus. It's intentional. That's the reason you can go to a website now and they have live chat to help you out. They've got Twitter to help you out. They've got emails to help you out. They've got forms to fill you out. They don't want to help you on the phone. It's too expensive to help you.
Well, I understand that, but I have called on the telephone, and I say, hey, this is not working. I want to get it. I'm paying you.
Right.
I want action now.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm being facetious because, yeah, you can do some of that, but it's less and less productive. It's more and more
waste. I understand that, but I've got Roku, and I've called them.
Right.
I've got Netflix. I've called them. I called Microsoft.
Yeah.
I've called, and it seems to me that still there's a place for the telephone.
Right, yeah. Yeah, and actually, Bob, on that note, what I do for telephone calls, especially if I don't have a Vonage or a Magic Jack handy, I use Skype for 800 numbers. I don't know if anybody's done that. You, even if you don't have a Skype account, you could set up a Skype account just to make 800 calls. You don't have to give them any billing information. You can, anything that's an 866, an 888,
I wonder if it'd be possible to have, you know, there's all these companies. Like, frankly, I sat down and I looked at this company that was in Amsterdam, and I said, what? I'm not charged anything in Amsterdam. It happened to be Evangate?
I'm not
it
sure.
It was Hide My Ass.
Oh.
That's what it was.
Okay.
And then I found out that if I paid them by the year, it was cheaper than... Huh? Really? I didn't know that.
They're probably not even based in Amsterdam. That's just where they get the best tax breaks.
That's probably it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was an Amsterdam charge. Mm-hmm. And I said, I didn't charge anything. And I said, Schwab, you give me my money back. And they said, yes, sir, yes, sir. And so then all of a sudden I had no idea.
You're reminding me about my network solutions issue. And I still haven't sat down and worked out a new web host. And if I forget, in a month, it's going to be shut off. Club website, my website.
Well,
so I've got to deal with that issue.
It seems to me that for us right here, it'd be handy to have telephone numbers of Hide My Ass, Netflix. And if we could share those, if that, you know, when everything falls apart, then you what do? You pick up the phone.
Hide My Ass and get a phone number.
Well, because they work really hard at hiding phone numbers. Yeah. But you know, it's not a bad suggestion. Kind of like the same way you have a Viva San Carlos discussion group. Maybe we could have a group on it on the website where when you come across the useful phone number, you could go post the phone number. You tag it with a company's name, and then there's a resource to go look up when you're having trouble finding our own group.
Hey, here's a reason to be a member of this group. You know, and you don't have to hide it if somebody else wants the number, but that's a good reason for us being here. You know, it's to share information that way.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, if you come up with a phone number for some service that's making me crazy and it rings twice and I talk to a human, I will do that first. Always.
I have a list in my yellow book. I have a list of the phone numbers, and I tell you, I call them.
Yeah.
A lot of times I'll ask them what country you're in.
Yeah.
Oh, it's
snow
up to my tush.
Well, I told you about my Xbox experience, and everywhere on the internet, they're like, call Xbox, they'll help you, call Xbox. And me, being the typical computer person I am, is the last thing I want to do is get into one of those voicemail messages. But there, it became apparent there was no way to get help unless I talked to a human. And so I make the call, and yeah, I'm wading through voicemail messages. Or I keep saying voicemail, voice menu messages, and I end up in the right hold line, and I finally get somebody that's, and I'm not disconnected, it's just aggravating to have to deal with, and in the end they had the right information. Well, if they had the phone number where talk to a person in 2 seconds and get your problem resolved, but they don't want that, they want you to help yourself.
Mm-hmm. No way to call them, so I finally got a kid and got a smile box. I subscribe to that, but it wouldn't allow me to download my email addresses. If I wanted to, whoever I wanted to send it to, I had to get into my email, write it down, manually input it to smile box.
Mm-hmm.
So I canceled it. I said, I don't like this. I don't want to do it by hand. They said, we can help you fix that. They sent me two ways to try to fix it. Neither way. So I said, it's not working. It's not worth it. Cancel that. So they wrote back and they said, if you'll stay with us, you can have it for a year for $19.91. And I said, okay, I'll stay with you. Meantime, see if you can't figure out how I can fix this issue. Well, they got back on, and make a long story short, what they said to me was, it wouldn't work. What they said was, well, we'll give it to you for $19.99, but since you canceled the order, first you have to resubscribe, pay the $45, and then we'll refund you.
Yeah.
And I said, that's not what your email said. I said, that is not what your email said.
Did you tweet that? I hope.
I'm going to cancel my order, and I said, I wonder how this will look on Twitter. And that's as far as I got last night. I was so angry with him.
Yeah,
that was last night.
Hashtag cancel garbage service. No, because they're supposed to make it easy. That's
offered me.
Why would you stay with any service that's not working to make
no
it easy?
Strings. It didn't even say for 1 year. So
and Smilebox, I don't use, but it used to be Come Along software with Print Shop, Printmaster Gold, and those products are not being maintained by their original developers. They're being maintained by one of these third-party umbrella corporations that just buys up products and starts selling them.
And they only have service from 8-5 Monday through Friday.
That's right.
Is there an alternative? Because I liked it, but I'm not going to manually input email.
Well, here's a good reason to show up for the Computer Club. There is a website out there called Alternative2.net, I think it is. I think it's all spelled out. Alternative to net. Let me find the real name of this website. It's a Google search away with bad spelling. Here, yeah, it's alternative, spelled correctly, not the way I spelled it. Alternativeto.net. And it's a search engine where you can put in a product's name, and it'll give you a list of products that have been rated as good alternatives.
Oh, yeah.
Like consumer reports.
I think this is an open platform instead of being, and that's actually a closed, commercial, endeavor. And this, I think, is an open endeavor. I think they take donations, and I think they pop up advertising. But all the reviews and ratings are being done by people like you, and the suggestions are being done by you. And so often I find myself looking for this website when I'm moving between platforms, Android to iOS or Macintosh to PC, so that I can find some application similar on the other platform.
So can I get back to the Smart TV for a minute? So now that I've already set it up in Mexico, if I got a VPN and or a different router, mm-hmm. could I back it up? Could I go back and make it think that I move my TV back to the States?
Yeah, and really the only issue I've seen is the services that come with your Smart TV may be flagged as, this is the U.S. version, and you're not in the U.S., so it won't bring up content. I've had this.
But if I had a VPN, a U.S. VPN, would it?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. What I'm saying is that you haven't done any damage to your TV until you've decided to do the software update.
Okay.
If you do, let's say it's a Samsung TV.
It is a Samsung TV.
Okay. And Samsung flags up, says, we've got a software update for you.
Mm-hmm.
While it's here in Mexico, you don't want to do it because undoubtedly the version they're sending you is the Mexican version, and you don't know if the Mexican version supports Netflix or not.
Okay.
And so by doing this, it says software upgrade. It's not really an upgrade. It's more a lateral change.
Okay. So yeah, we just put it on, and I don't think it asked. Oh, we just plugged it in, and I don't think it.
I suspect it would.
You'll get a bar across the top of your TV, will give you that option.
Okay. I suspect at some point it's gonna make you aware that there's software change.
Okay.
They're gonna call it a software update, and it's probably not. It's probably this lateral change, making it from a U.S. set to a Mexican set. And then you're at the mercy of whatever licensing agreements they had in place when they decided that model would change.
Okay. So we're going to get a Samsung DVR to go with it. So should I set that up in the States before I go?
I don't think
here?
in this matter? Case it doesn't matter.
Okay.
The Roku, it very much matters. But in the Samsung TVs, it doesn't matter. The issue is the VPN and the access of Netflix. I've seen these TVs do Netflix in Mexico without a, no, I'm sorry, I haven't described it. They definitely needed a VPN.
Okay, well, and the same with Amazon Prime, because Amazon Prime, it won't let me do either, because it says I'm not licensed.
You can do it, on the computer, you can do the Prime streaming, but you can't do the downloading without a VPN. Like, you buy a movie, you can't download that from your digital locker without
I can't even do the streaming.
You should be able to. Maggie's become our Amazon Prime. Yeah, are you doing Amazon Prime?
No.
So you're just doing straight streaming with Amazon?
Netflix. I do Amazon Prime.
You stream? Can you, but you've got a VPN.
I
need a VPN to do that, right?
I would think.
Yeah.
But you were the one that enlightened me to the idea that you could stream things here from Amazon. Oh, it was content you had purchased. That's right.
I used Firefox.
Is that
I could watch it on my computer.
Yeah, that's right.
But I couldn't watch it on this.
Right, you couldn't watch
it. Because it just doesn't support the
quality. Well, yeah, but the other issue was that you could buy a TV show and watch it on your computer, but you couldn't download it to your computer without it.
The VPN, I could download it to the computer.
Oh. So yeah. I would go to why told you about
Ronnie was talking about buying a DVR. And bring it down here. I got cheap and I didn't get the DVR.
Okay.
With DirecTV up in the States.
Right.
And then I went in and I said, I want a DVR. And they said, oh, it cost you $300.
Right.
Okay. Big cost.
Yes.
They changed the contract because it's a 2-year contract.
Wait.
Okay. So they wouldn't allow me to. They normally just give it to us. Well, and you pay another $10 a month.
Well, a DVR is a computer, so $300 for a device isn't that surprising. But if it's all contract stuff, I mean, you should be able to go into a Best Buy and buy it.
You can.
Yeah.
Okay, and you can buy a bunch of varieties from recording 3 channels to recording 12. And okay, the 12 cost $500.
Yeah, you need to
and
be.
And the other one, and I always think that you could buy these things online, because I've already seen them, I think, for $79. Does that sound right?
Well, it depends on the feature set that you're looking for and whether they're still compatible. I mean, I don't think I would be shopping on eBay for satellite equipment because I'm a novice when it comes to satellite TV, and it would be very easy for somebody to take advantage of me. Yeah, they could easily sell me a device that's no longer compatible with these networks. But if I was looking to replace a satellite box, because essentially, if you're not getting into, and what's it called, the Genie or the Hopper?
I have a Genie.
The Genie? Okay, so what, that is a completely different kind of device than what you're probably using.
Oh, am I?
Okay, well, that Hopper is a very expensive device. There, it comes with a main station and a bunch of remote stations, so you can do every room in your house. But you need the base station for the remote stations. You need a special contract with them. And one of the key ingredients in there is it's intended for HD, for you to take advantage of HD.
Right.
So down here, you even need more dishes or bigger dishes.
The only
one. Well, unless you go to the guy that sets up TV. Because then he has a special, what you say?
I have one.
Okay, I have a small dish, and I have HD.
See, what you...
I do not have HD.
What you... The box is HD. You want to replace the kind of box you have now with one that can record.
That's yes.
That's what you're looking for.
That's right.
And unfortunately, I'm not the expert in that. But that's, you want to stay away from all these features and contract changes. You want to find somebody that can point you to the device that you can just replace your... Like, imagine for a moment the box you have burned out. Well, DirecTV is not going to give you a new box. You're going to buy a box to replace that. And that's kind of the attitude you're taking to this. Is I just want to replace my old box, but the new one I buy has a... I want to have a DVR. Yeah, you follow my thinking?
Yeah,
so you're looking for more of an expert in that area than I am. I'm sorry. I mean, I could probably spend some time on Amazon and some support forums and find out what you do in those circumstances. But I would stay away from things like eBay because I would be taken advantage of. I would go, oh, wow, that's $60 for a DVD, and I'd find out, oh, it's no longer compatible with the latest dish encryption scheme. That's the reason they're getting rid of it, is they can't use it.
She had a question about Coke box, and I was going to get re-involved because if he gets Coke box, I'd strongly recommend you let him install it.
Oh.
The,
it is not user-friendly.
What was the question with Coke box, though?
She wants to be in.
Okay.
And so she was asking about Coke box.
Well, you know, the reason that the Coke box gets talked about a lot is because they were one of the first that would sell you a service with the equipment. And on a smart TV, you definitely need equipment to create the VPN. On a tablet or a computer, you can use what's called software VPNs. And so you can subscribe to a VPN service, download their software, install it in your computer, and all of a sudden your computer thinks it's in the United States. You don't have that option with a smart TV.
So if I get a Cloak box, so it'll work for both my TV and computer?
And it'll work for
that's what I mean. Yes.
And then if you can get Mega Cable on top of that.
Oh,
forget Mega Cable.
Yes, and
Mega Cable is a router. Cable telephone. You can buy just the internet service.
Oh, so that's instead of Comet.
Oh, it's four times the speed.
You're talking about Megaret, right? You're talking about the cable company.
Well, Mega Cable.
Mega Cable, yeah. Mega Cable is what they call the TV portion of it, and Mega Red's what they call it, the right. Internet portion of it. Yeah.
He's high tech. What do you have? Telmex?
I have Telmex, okay. But I'm out in the Ranchitos, and Mega Red isn't available.
Okay, but would you go with Mega Red?
I would.
You would?
Yeah. Well, I would. Yeah. No. If I had cable available to me in my area,
it just
I would.
Makes it faster, right?
No, it's
four
yeah.
times as fast.
Okay, but well, isn't what you have adequate?
Not for me.
Well, why then? Why do you live there? Why do you live there?
Because that's where we built the house.
Well, so thing.
I can completely relate to that point of view. My wife, however, does not. No, we need to live in an area with fiber optics. You're nuts. What are you talking about? Consequently, we have both in the office. We have MegaRed and Telmex in the office.
I find that Telmex is adequate.
Yeah.
I think it's totally adequate.
For Telmex? Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, it's adequate for a lot of things. But
99%.
Like my kids have got brand new tablets, right? So I've got two kids using YouTube at the same time my wife's streaming something on her phone, and I'm just trying to do some research. All of a sudden, it's pretty tight. There's a lot more wait
time. I've got Cox in Tucson, and this has ever been as good.
Well, that might say more about Cox than it does.
It may.
Yeah.
It's slower. It's a lot slower than what I'm used to.
Really?
Yeah.
In where?
In Alaska.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what part of Alaska are you from?
We had been in Eagle River. We just moved to Soldotna.
I grew up in Anchorage.
Did you really?
Yeah.
there you go.
Yeah. Eagle River is about as close to Anchorage as Guaymas is to San Carlos.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you move to Soldotna so you could fish?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. We built a house on the river. So.
Yeah.
Well, that's really cool. And so you've been using GCI cable.
Had been using GCI. Just moved over to ACS because GCI is fast and hold up.
So this is GCI is the cable company and ACS is doing DSLs like Telmex does. And ACS does a great job too, but there's a limit. There's a physical limit on how fast those connections are.
My mind doesn't go any faster than
so if I wanted to see if Mega Cable was in my area, the company I really want to go to is Mega Red.
No, Mega Red is the service that you want to use. Mega Cable is the main office here.
Oh, okay.
But you're interested in just internet. Yeah,
I
was going to qualify all this with. They are faster, they are cheaper per megabyte, They have lousy customer service now. They never have English speakers to help you.
That's not what
And Telmex, knowing that they have an inferior product, has become awesome with customer service. I mean, just like I said, they'll give you equipment, they won't even
question
you.
They'll bring it out. Yeah, because my first one wasn't working well. They brought me out a new one.
They've got a guy running around that's kind of bitten into my market because he's going around doing jobs for free that I would charge people for.
You got to be careful. This guy and that guy, and there's a couple more, they'll get you up to this equipment that's so, you know, it's so good.
You don't know what to do with it.
You breathe on it, and it does not work.
That's all they have to do is put an English speaker. Yep. Well, and you know, the other frustration I've run into with Megaret is I've had businesses that I had to set up VPNs between here and their parent company in a foreign country, and there were ports that I needed to have opened up on the Megaret equipment. And they were very willing to do it. They had no idea how to do it for me. I mean, I'm talking to them on cut. I mean, they knew I knew what I was talking about. They had no procedure or plan for dealing with those circumstances. Their answer was, look, all we can tell you is no, and it's because we don't know how to do it for you. Whereas Telmex, you've got access to their equipment. You've got access to people that know how to make the changes on their equipment.
I need that. So Cloak Box, if I buy a Cloak Box, then do I have to pay a monthly fee for something as well?
Well, now, Cloak Box is one of the names. Hide My Ass is, right, Hide My Ass / Flash Routers.
I think Hide My Ass is
I do too. And there's a new one that I've just helped somebody set up, and it was just as, and I'm trying to remember the name, I'm thinking it's Astral. I am not remembering the other one. I wanted to recommend another VPN. But these two, and this would be Cookbox Whitopia is the name of the VPN service. I think it's WI, like Wi-Fi.
Oh, okay.
Whitopia. So I think you buy this through Whitopia. HMA, you buy separate. You can buy equipment from them. You can buy the router from them. Or you can buy it from somebody like FlashRouter. FlashRouter is a place where they'll set it up for you, and they'll sell you one with a warranty that is cheaper than what either one of these services would sell you the equipment at.
So FlashRouter is
FlashRouter is a third party that sets up routers to be used for VPNs, and they typically sell them cheaper than the VPN provider would sell them.
So is that a place here, or is that
on the internet? Online.
So I'd
all
go
this
to FlashRouters and order a HMA or a Cloakbox.
Yeah. Now, Cloakbox and Whitehope, if price is no object, if you're not concerned about pinch and pennies,
mm-hmm.
then they'll sell you service, the equipment, to a P.O. box, or to a shipping, wherever you can receive a shipping, and it'll be ready to go, and you should be able to plug it in and get it going.
Oh.
The HMA, they'll do the same thing. The equipment through each of these are more expensive than if you were to do it yourself. And that's what FlashRouters is about, is doing it yourself. I'm sorry. I think I'm suffering from giving you too much information. I apologize. It's one of my biggest problems. I give people way too much information. It's easy to recommend Cloakbox. There's a lot of help information.
Well, Chester was just saying that if I get a Cloakbox, that I should have you set it up because he said it was not.
I would be very happy to set it up for you.
But you're saying it's easy.
It's supposed to be easy. I think it's supposed to be easy. It is one of the things I do is I help people set this stuff up. And he probably is thinking for the ultimate success. He has no idea how many computers you have, how many devices you have. I can set it all up.
Because what we have basically is an iPad, a couple of iPhones, an HP computer,
okay,
and a smart TV.
Okay.
And I guess that's it right now. So.
So yeah, what a Cloakbox device would do is it'd be just like a Wi-Fi router. Except it would provide a pocket of Wi-Fi that goes tunnels into the United States. And you hook all the devices that you want to use. Yeah.
So if I was going to go to Flash Routers and get one, which one would you recommend? What brand would you get?
Well, there's... I think the Buffalo's are really good devices. You know what? Let
Bill
me
was saying... Or, is it Bill? Yeah, Bill was saying he had a Buffalo.
What? Why don't, I'm way over time on
okay.
this recording, so let me at least sign that off. So this has been the San Carlos Computer Club. We meet every Tuesday from 9:15 to 10:15-ish, obviously, because we've run real late. Everybody's excited from having missed the last meeting in their holiday. First meeting, New Year, and I have Maggie's endorsement. It was a great one. Right. Awesome. We've covered a ridiculous array of things, and I hope that if you're interested in this or any other recordings, you'll go to our website at sccclub.org. I'll have this posted there later, but you can also find meetings from last year or the year before last, or even the year before that. In fact, I think I've got recordings that go almost back to 2009. So I don't know why anybody would be interested in information from 2009, but it's there. If you're looking for computer help, I'd appreciate it if you call me. My business is International Computer Solutions. My name's Scott Stimson again, and you can reach me through our office at 226-0209 or our website at internationalcsi.com. This is it, and we will see you next week, and you can listen to us here at the same website, same channel, or just come to Tequila's and participate in our meeting. Thanks for everything, and tech on.
I do.